Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Gifting Gope.
I would love to say to a lady at the bar, what's your name? Gift. I am a gift to you.
Swipe right.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan in here. The O-Dog off to do some SportsCenter. He'll be back in a moment. Bob McKenzie will be with him. Bobby Mack will be in studio around 6:20. So we'll do a bit of a playoff preview with him. No predictions, though, for Bob. Refuses to do predictions.
I wish I could be like that.
You got to have a lot of clout to be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Especially in the business we are. You know, it's you got to come with, like, I honestly found it hard today choosing a goaltending matchup like Rask and Anderson and somebody saying, who's got the edge? Because I think they both just match up really nice. So I was racking my brain. I'm like, you know, Freddie's had a great season. Rask had a great season. They both, you know, numbers mirror. Like, I was digging deeper on everything. And
doesn't it come down to head-to-head? Like, Freddie has owned the Bruins as a Maple Leaf. Tuukka Rask has not played well against Toronto the past 2 years. Like, I don't know what that's worth in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know how to quantify that.
I mean,
in the
Rask
playoffs.
Has been to the finals.
No, I know.
Taking his team. So I was kind of like trying to. You're right. Like,
but you were saying, look at their numbers.
Right.
They're equal right down the middle, right? Like, Freddie did this, Tuukka Rask did that.
Right.
Freddie did this, Tuukka Rask did that. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I was posed that question, because I'm in the same boat, I don't know who to pick.
Right.
They're both really good goalies. I don't know who's going to have the better series, but I think I might have to get to a conclusion where I'd say, okay, let's see what happened literally when they played each other the past 2 years.
Right.
And Freddie,
seven,
it's a team
one,
sport,
he?
But he beat him.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good layer. I went more on playoff experience because it's just regular season and playoffs are just such a different animal. And even that is quite close. Like, they... You know, Rask has won 5 rounds. Anderson's won 3. You know, so it's that close. So I almost like copped out and said, well, Rask on more experience, but that's what Freddie's trying to get is the experience this
well,
year.
That's the problem.
In essence, you know, like it's hard, but that I think it's a good problem to have where you're looking at other series, and we were talking about it, matchups. Like, okay, could you see Vegas losing in the first round to L.A.? Yeah, we could, but guess what? We've been waiting for them to fall on their face all year. And what have they haven't done? They haven't fallen on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, under the radar, just quietly. Is that the quietest sixth-place finish you've seen in the league? Like,
yeah, nobody focused on them. Outside of Ovechkin. Like, Ovi, because he won the Rocket and he was scoring again and he was doing what he was doing. Outside of that, nobody paid attention to anything
in
Washington.
And this is a team that's won 2 President's Trophies in a row leading up to this.
Right. But I do think what has to be brought up and what is important to mention is that's outside of the market.
Right.
In D.C., there's a ton of pressure on them. Remember last year when they lost Game 3 to the Leafs and went down 2-1?
We had Alan May on.
We had Alan May on, and Alan was doing a show in D.C., and he said they had a poll going, like, who's going to win the series, and it was like 90-10 in favor of the Leafs. Like, their whole fan base turned on the team.
Yeah.
Started saying that Ovi's got to go. He's a choker.
That's right.
Trotz has to be fired. You can't trust Braden Holtby. So, yeah, it's been quiet when it comes to what the Capitals have done this year outside of that market. But in that market, I would think it's still cup or bust. It has been for a decade.
Yeah.
Like, Barry Trotz, if they lose in the first round, I can't picture him returning. I think he's coaching for his job. I don't know who else is doing that. Who else in the NHL playoffs is coaching for their job?
Brucey?
Maybe Boudreau. But, man, is he up against it. I don't even think it would be him. He's been there for 2 years. They made the playoffs both times.
And had tremendous seasons.
Really good seasons. Ryan Suter's out. Spurgeon's out. You're playing maybe the second or third best team in the league, give or take.
Yep.
I don't know about that. I really don't.
I couldn't. You're right. I don't think there's anybody in the playoffs right now that's coaching for their job based on expectation.
I think Trotz is. I think if they lose in the first round, I would not be surprised at all if he was let go.
Well, yeah, you're right. Expectations very high there. And McClellan probably has one bullet in his chamber before Leonis is leaning on him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it depends on how you lose, too. That's the thing. I think sometimes perception is everything. You lose in triple overtime in Game 7, maybe that's something that's a little different than you get... You know,
well, context is important. But yeah, they get steamrolled by Columbus. How is Barry Trotz going to explain that?
Yeah. Columbus is a really good team. That's kind of another team that's kind of flown under the radar. Like, is Seth Jones going to get Norris votes? I thought I read that the other day, that he could be like sniveling around on a Norris conversation. We may have to ask Bobby Mack about that too.
Yeah, Bobby Mack in studio in about 20 minutes. We're going to catch up with Gary Thorne in a moment. Jays are 7-4. Donaldson with a grand slam last night. Steve Pierce, 3 bombs in 3 games. All of a sudden, Pierce, who was in Baltimore before he came up here, is starting to look like a guy they can rely on. Now, small sample size.
Yeah, it's still early. It's really early.
But compared to what they did last April, this is night and day. They needed this start.
And what did we expect of this team? I think the expectations, maybe either by the organization or just by the fan base and the media, were not very high coming in. Everyone knew they had a starting rotation. But they were like, where's the bats? Where's the bats going to be?
That's been the biggest surprise.
Donaldson's got the injury. Mm-hmm. He's got a dead arm. The manager's going, yeah, his arm's dead. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Like, no kidding. Nonchalant.
He's sitting at dead his arm. Desk.
Yeah.
If they would have panned wider, I guarantee he's having a beer.
Feet up, beers.
And just, yeah, dead arm, it happens. Not a big deal.
What are you going to do?
But it's good. It's good for the Jays because with all the Leaf talk and the Raptor talk, I think they're kind of just quietly going about their business.
Well, and they did mention that beforehand. Like, there's a lot of other things going on in the city with the Leafs going to the playoffs, the Raptors, first overall in the East. TFC's got the second leg of Champions League tonight in Mexico City. We had Sergio Dip on the show earlier.
Exactly.
Having the time of his life.
Having the time of his life.
If you missed that, find it, podcast it online. Yeah, TSN. Please. 1050.ca or check it out on iTunes. It was a great interview, actually. We had a great time catching up with
him. He was awesome.
A really good guy. Really self-deprecating, but also you can tell he's a driven guy. He wants to be great in the business.
And absolutely.
ESPN, if you're listening, give him another opportunity next year. Get him on ESPN for the opener Monday Night Football and let Sergio Dip have his redemption.
Having the time of his life.
Right?
That's awesome.
If you're the Jays, I mean... You're relishing the fact that you're under the radar, but if you keep winning, you're going to go above the radar pretty soon.
Right.
Right? Because of I think there's some shock value to this, that the bats are alive the way that you just said that they are, which I didn't expect them to hit like this.
Right.
I'm still not convinced it's going to continue throughout the whole year. I mean, they've got 150 games left to be played, but bats are alive, winning games. Beating teams within your own division.
That's all you can ask for.
Yankees aren't off to the start we thought. How about Stanton?
Yeah.
Like 5 strikeouts again the other night. He's getting booed out of Yankee Stadium every time he plays there.
That's, you know, when expectation is so high, he's putting pressure on himself. The fans and the media are putting pressure on him, and he's had a tough start.
He's had a brutal start.
But that's the thing. Like, I could see him at some point, the light going on, and
he's too good of a player.
And when you're like, no, do you remember when... You know, in April, he was struggling. Yeah, it's not the case in July, you know?
Totally. I mean, he's on the opposite side of the ledger from where the Jays are right now. The Jays, the bats are alive. They're getting big contributions from a guy like Pierce. Solarte's had a good start. Granderson's had a great start.
Right.
You know, Donaldson, we expected that. But considering the injuries, we didn't know when it was going to kick into gear. They're 7-4, feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 11 games out of 162, and it's the middle of April.
Right.
So what does it really mean in terms of the big picture? Probably not that much. And the same thing with Stanton in New York. I'd still be willing to put some money down that he ends up with 45 bombs this year.
Yeah.
OPS up around 1,000.
So he'll be fine.
And the Yankees bats will come alive and they'll win some games.
Yeah.
Right? They're too good of a team. He's too good of a player. But this is a case study for massive expectations in the biggest market.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in New York is not easy.
Yeah. You're right.
Like, you get K'd up 5 times, they boo you off the field.
Well, the fans are passionate, they're educated, and they also are not shy to let you know how they feel at moment.
Ever. Yeah. All right, we've got Gary Thorne on the line, the voice of the Orioles.
Legend, yes.
former voice of EA Sports, the NHL game, which was awesome. Still is a good game, although I haven't played it in years. This was my prime video game playing when Gary was calling it. And I don't think we've ever caught up with him before.
No, I don't think so.
It's Jays Orioles in Baltimore tonight. Hopefully some people actually show up. Here's Gary Thorne. How you doing, Gary?
Hey, guys. Pleasure to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks for doing
the video, too.
That video game was awesome, man. You must have loved doing that.
That was fun. That was a great time. Yeah, we loved doing those. Had a wonderful time over the years with those things. As long as they buried the outtakes, we're okay.
Right. I mean, how long did that take you? When you showed up to EA Sports, were you prepared to be there for a week, a month? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were usually there. We were there at least a week, and sometimes we'd do 5 or 6 days and then go away for a couple of weeks or something to come back and finish it up. But it was a week. It was a good solid week of 6 hours a day. And that was after we got the initial one done. The initial one, of course, you had to do everything from scratch, so it was every name and every team and all of that. So that even took a little longer, but this still was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a grind. We mentioned the low attendance. It's been a problem all throughout the league. It was the case last night at Camden Yards. I mean, do you think this is the MLB? It's just baseball. They were pushing their luck because they started the season as early as they did, or what's your take on it?
Yeah. The weather, miserable. I mean, it's beautiful here tonight. It's still going to be cold, but it's beautiful. But we were in New York for that series, a four-game series against the Yankees, and I mean, it was awful. It was freezing cold, and there'd be some little drizzle, little snow. I mean, it was not baseball weather. I don't know how the guys play, honestly, in that kind of weather, and it's been that way, as you know, all the way across the Northeast, and even down, my God, when Toronto played in Texas, it was 40 degrees or something. Yeah. It was the third lowest temperature. I mean, it's just seemingly has been everywhere this year, but especially in the Northeast. Fans just, you can't come out and sit here for three and a half hours in that kind of weather. I mean, you're going to go home sick.
Yeah, you're out of there.
They didn't.
Yeah. No, totally. Like, maybe for a playoff game. Maybe.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
You know, game 10 of a 162, no thank you. Check, please. We're chatting with Gary Thorne, the voice of the Orioles. It's Jays in Baltimore tonight. Jays off to a really good start, 7-4, but a different complexion to this team this year because Jose Bautista is not a part of it for the first time in a decade. And you just mentioned that they were down in Texas recently, and Rougned Odor was up to his old tricks, but I don't think it really registered the way that it did or would have if Bautista was in the lineup. And when I think of the two biggest rivalries for the Jays over the past handful of years, one of them is Texas and one of them is Baltimore. How do you feel calling these games without Bautista in the lineup?
Well, it never bothered me a whole lot. I mean, it was there, and there was always a tension and a friction between the Orioles and Bautista. I mean, neither team wanted to let go of the things that had happened in the past. But in all honesty, I mean, Bautista almost became a non-factor over the last couple of years. I mean, he didn't play very well. He wasn't somebody that you were overly concerned with in the lineup anymore. And because that takes a lot of that heat and passion out of that kind of a rivalry individually. And I think that's what happened. So it didn't really register. Last year in particular, there was hardly any discussion about the past. And most of the guys want to move on out of that anyway, in any situation. I mean, you got to play the games. You can't be worrying about that personal stuff that took place previously. So they're a better ball club. The Jays are a better ball club without him. I mean, I don't mean that negatively towards him, but I mean, they just are. And they're able to get some other players in there. And from what I've seen and talking to Gibbons, I mean, I think they're real happy with the chemistry that's developed. And, you know, despite all the talk about chemistry, it is important. As Mike Bordig, my partner, who played for all those years, talks about, chemistry is really about trusting each other, to have each other's back in terms of what you do in the course of a game. And I think the Jays have that now. They're playing for one another and for themselves in that order. And that's what chemistry, I think, in sports is all about.
It's been a pleasant surprise, 7-4, the bats being alive the way that they have been for the Blue Jays. I mean, they've scored more runs than any other team in the division, and there's nobody that would have thought that was going to be the case a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, everyone was handing the division to New York and to Boston. And, I mean, I'm sure you guys had the same kind of vibe down in Baltimore. It was like a foregone conclusion that the Sox and Yankees were going to win, and maybe that won't be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. It matters. I mean, I've always been a proponent of early season wins, a lesson I learned early in Major League Baseball, I think, from Bobby Cox. Bobby used to push the Atlanta Braves hard at the beginning of the season. He never wanted to hear, oh, it's only April, don't worry about it, we'll be okay. I mean, that to him was sacrilegious. He wanted his club to get as many games above 500 in the month of April as they could, because it's hard to play catch-up in this game. Even though it's 162 games, you get behind by 8-9 games or something early on, and you got 4 or 5 teams you got to jump over to get there. That takes a lot of winning and a very high win percentage, and that's not easy to do. So these wins at the beginning of the season, they count. I mean, we know they count as much as any other win in the course of a year, but they count because you give yourself a little breathing room. You know you're going to have some down spots. You know you're going to lose some games. But if you have built a little cushion up, then you don't feel that pressure of having to win at some point in the season, because you got a little space to breathe.
It's Blue Jays Orioles down in Baltimore tonight. He is Gary Thorne, the voice of the Orioles. Really appreciate you doing this for us before the game. Enjoy it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll do it again down the road.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
There he is, Gary Thorne, the voice of an angel.
You can tell. I mean, his voice is so unique. I mean, like you said before, there's certain play-by-play guys and guys who call games where you're, the minute that the TV's on, you're like, okay, he's calling.
We know exactly who's calling.
Bob Cole, even Chris Cuthbert and Gord.
Yeah,
like they're
they've got
unique.
Distinct sounds.
Distinct, exactly.
And you got to be around for a long time to kind of establish that.
Agreed.
And speaking of Bob Cole, it doesn't sound like he's going to be calling games in the first round. So that'll be it. Bob Cole's been calling playoff games for my whole lifetime, like well before I was even around.
Well,
and you know, it's not our call; it's the other company that makes that decision, but. Even if it was our company, I don't think we would be having a vote in that.
No, but I mean, he's also, I believe, 83 or 4.
Yeah, like he's had a really good run and a great career, and I'm not surprised, but you know, people love Bob Cole.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised to see that when NBC in the States unveiled their broadcast team, they're treating Boston Toronto as their number one priority.
Well,
it's the number one series. Like, that's Doc Emrick, that's Milbury, it's Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, that's their number one series.
But I think if you look at just the matchups, I think everyone has circled this one between Toronto and Boston as a can't-miss TV.
I agree with you, but I would have figured they'd look at it and say, okay, that's a Canadian team. We got Philly-Pittsburgh.
Right.
One of those two teams are on NBC every single Saturday down the stretch. They play like 5 teams.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Chicago, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, Boston.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe Washington. That's about it. That's all they play on NBC. Like, Toronto's never on NBC unless it's a big outdoor game.
To a point, like I think I said it with Ray yesterday, Pittsburgh and Philly is... really exciting for me as well, because I think there's just a level of hatred between the fan bases where you're, like, there's a long history.
It's a huge rivalry. It's a state rivalry. It's like Toronto Ottawa.
Yeah, it's and
I just figured that was going to get top billing, and I don't think it is based on what I saw yesterday.
But I think people are looking at it and saying, if you really had gun to your head, Pittsburgh takes that probably in 6.
I'm not convinced they do.
No?
No, I'm really not. I think Philly might win that.
My X factor, like I said yesterday, and I embarrassingly said it, is Matt Murray. And this is a guy who's won 2 Stanley Cups in a row. But he doesn't have a safety blanket in the flower on the bench. It's DeSmith, and it's also Tristan Jarry. Like, those aren't guys that...
And he's not coming in playing hot either. His numbers are not very good this
year.
Right,
so Matt Murray has to... He's got to be good in this playoff, which is unique for me, because he could have won the Conn Smythe. Was it last year or the year? I think it was the year before.
Past couple of years, really, he would have been in the running.
Yeah.
You know. All right, Bob McKenzie's coming in. The O-Dog will be back as well. We'll continue to tee up the playoffs. Kicking off tomorrow night, Leafs in Boston Thursday night for Game 1. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. We've got SportsCenter up in the studio. The O-Dog's back. Bob McKenzie in here, brought to you by Finance It. And the panel, they're doing their predictions for Leafs Bruins in the first round. Craig, Jeff, and Ray all taking the Bruins. All of you are on the Bruins in the first round.
Well, it's not preposterous.
They battled the whole year to be number one in the league, and they went from a retool to all in very quickly, and I like their team. And just talking with some coaches around the league, Boston's the team to beat in the East.
Ooh, Andy Petrillo took the Leafs. I knew
what
she
would. Of course
homer.
She did.
She's I
such
knew
a
she
homer.
Would.
Super fan, though.
Well,
she's
a super fan homer.
How do you host Leafs lunch and not take the
what
Leafs?
What if she's like, yeah, take Boston. Like
they're slide that
like,
in.
Yeah.
In a sweep. Hit the Bruins in four.
I'm proud of O.
Yeah?
Being all objective like that.
See, that's, I think it's reverse psychology, personally.
Hey, don't kid yourself. I wouldn't mind an upset.
Attaboy.
There you go.
This
when the Leafs score, he'll be giving it the old
fist pump.
The Ray Borg.
Yeah.
Have to make sure those losers in the press box aren't around.
You can't do that around here.
Was that last year in the playoffs where...
This pencil neck looked at me and he goes, "You're not allowed to do that in the press box, sir." I said, "Really? Why is that?" "Oh, because we had some people that were up here cheering and they got in trouble." I just said, "Whatever," and I left. Bunch of losers.
Tell them to take a lap.
Yeah. I did.
I was
with
there.
With an F-bomb.
No cheering in the press box.
Was it that's
the,
right, Bob.
What was it called? The O'Doul wave?
The Jeff Doyle wave.
The Jeff Doyle wave.
The wave and then the finger followed right after.
Which is just so cheerful.
Yeah.
It's so just nice.
Fist
I actually thought the person
box.
Was kidding around with me. He goes, "Don't do, you can't do that, Jeff." And I'm like, are you serious right now? I go, "I can do whatever I want." And he goes, no, you're not. You're in the media now. I'm like, a loser.
I know. Who makes those rules?
Yeah, I'm 42 years old. I'll do whatever I want up here.
Like,
you're a big boy.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Wait a second, though. Like, were you jumping up and, like, cheering like a madman, or were you just giving it the O-Dog?
Yeah, like they missed a chance, and I was like, "Ah, damn." He's like, "Oh, no, you're not doing that around here." I go, "Yeah, really? What are you going to do?
You're going to stuff him in a garbage can?"
I thought about it, but then you know what happens after that.
I was around for the aftermath. I had it from both sides.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was playing like the mediator, I guess.
You were me. You were Jamie McClendon.
Basically, yeah. The guy came up to me. He's like, "Can you go tell Jeff?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm not getting involved
with
this."
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
I want nothing to do with it.
Objectively, Bob, because you are an objective man. Leafs, Bruins.
It's going to be really good.
Best
gonna be really
the first
tight
round for you? Or?
Yeah, I think it's the two, when I say the two best teams. So not the two best teams in the league, but together, two teams that are closer, tighter, and obviously higher in the standings than anybody else. They're both legit. So, you know, you can break it down a lot of different ways. So for me, it's, can the Leafs create enough? And again, everybody says, well, look at the regular season. I throw regular season out the window. It doesn't matter. But that said, can the Leafs create enough offense against the Bruins? Because they have a reputation for when they want to and they need to, they can still shut it down. They have a holdover from when Claude Julien coached the team. They're very good in the neutral zone and taking speed away from teams. So can the Leafs get through the neutral zone with speed, and can they break down Tuukka Rask? Because there's some question about, you know, the goaltending would be probably their question mark a little bit. He's a good goaltender, but he's not a guy who's built a reputation on being, you know, the best goaltender. So that's number one. Number two, can they handle the Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak line? It's obviously it's a higher scoring line than what the Leafs have, but the Leafs probably have more secondary scoring. So it's all about creating offense, trying to break down their goaltender, and stopping the top line the other way.
5 years ago, I remember the Leafs. You could sense it. They were saying the right things, but they were terrified of Chara. Terrified. Remember that narrative?
Yeah.
Phil, can Kessel actually do anything against them?
Yeah.
Chara is a very different player now. Like, what kind of...
And the game's different,
but
too.
But he knows it. Yeah, I think Chara knows it, too. Though.
Well, of course. Well, he better
know. Yeah, but he's really good. He's still really good.
Yeah.
You think he's a big factor in this series,
he's
though?
Massive on the penalty kill. Massive. That's where they've shifted his penalty minutes to. He doesn't play the power play very... Or, sorry, not penalty minutes. Regular minutes. Like, he doesn't play the power play. They've taken him away from the power play and put him on the penalty kill. And
still plays big minutes every game.
Very effective. Like, he's... But...
They're missing Carlo. That hurts.
Yeah.
McAvoy's really good. Really good.
Yeah,
like we saw him last year. He came into the league out of college.
Saw him at the juniors. He was outstanding.
Immediate impact as soon as he came in the playoffs. He was playing 27 minutes and quarterback in their power play and hammering pucks and being, as I like to call him, the American Drew Doughty. He's really good.
Yeah, I was saying that yesterday. He's a guy who kind of is a young Drew Doughty for me. Like, he hits, he's involved in the game. Like, he doesn't shy away from the physicality, even though he's not that big. But he's good with the puck, and, Torrey Krug's got a big shot. Like, I think the Leafs match up better against the Bruins. I just have said that for a while, just because of the skill level, the goaltenders, the D. I think Tampa, there was no answer for Hedman for me, because Hedman is just an, and he's
on a different level than anyone that they have.
As far as
like going across the board, who can match this guy in his minutes,
right,
and his impact? The Leafs don't have it, but to be fair to the Leafs, not a lot of teams do.
Right. Exactly.
You know, he's one of the top three or four defensemen in the league, right?
In the world, yeah.
Well, listen, it's going to be a great series. I mean, I think it's a chance for redemption for the Leafs, but the main core wasn't on the team 5 years ago for the most part anyway.
Well, 2013 is ancient history.
Well, regardless of what happens, but let's say Bruins win or something, will we hear, like, the playoff format, which I'm not a fan of this playoff format.
Sucks. Everyone hates it except Jerry.
Well,
but this is why they like it.
This
man.
Is why
Leafs,
they
Bruins,
like it.
Philly, Pittsburgh in the first round.
Yeah, but for the excitement of the game, wouldn't you want the matchups a little bit later on if they pan out? That's the idea, to kind of. Why have quality
I never liked
teams?
It from the time they brought it back. I didn't like it. So.
I don't either.
You but, like it?
Well, what I've always said is, be careful what you wish for. There's no guarantee you're getting that matchup.
Right.
Like, here, we guaranteed a great matchup in the first round. Mm-hmm. You know, would you prefer it in the conference final? Sure.
That's my point.
But you can't guarantee that all the time, though.
I get it, but you know what? You play the odds, it's going to happen maybe more often than not.
If Tampa wins the first round, then it's Tampa in either Boston or Toronto in the second round.
Right, which is tough.
Which doesn't seem really fair, but it's the rules and it's the way it is. And I didn't like it when they brought it in, but they don't seem to want to change it, so.
And if it was 1-8, like we said yesterday, it would be Leafs-Pittsburgh. In the first round.
So it's
not like that's a cakewalk over Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have home ice.
If you're a good team, you got to go through the playoffs and win.
Right,
that's
exactly.
The truth. But it's just,
yep.
You're looking at, and not even on the East, you're looking at Winnipeg, who's had an amazing season, and if they make it through Mini and,
then they got
and
Nashville
against Colorado, like there's your second round. You know,
that should be a conference final based on the points and one
based on
them being the top two seeds.
For sure.
It's not just reserved to the East.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Leading up to the end of the season, we were talking about the idea of a Black Monday in the NHL with coaches being let go. And the only guy that was let go was Alain Vigneault in New York.
Yeah,
nobody else is gone.
Black Saturday night.
Black Saturday night, right. Is this it then? Or
no,
what's
I think we're still waiting for see what happens in Calgary. But a lot of the places, I mean, I'm not even sure what to make on what happened with the Islanders. That was a weird one.
We were talking about that off air.
That was like Ledecky comes out and says, yeah, well, you know what, we're not really saying anything of much of anything other than we're disappointed. We're going to review everything and we'll get back to you. And here's the coach and general manager, talk to them. And then they put out a statement the next day and said, oh, we're really, it's all our fault and we're being responsible and we're being accountable, but... didn't say anything else. So, are they waiting to see what Tavares does before they decide what their long-term plan is? Or
like any other
are Garth and Doug wait all good to go? He didn't say. We presume that, but I don't know. It was that was a very strange one.
It's like everything else. It starts at the top. If you don't have quality at the top, you got a bunch of dopes that don't know what they're doing. Look at this guy in Carolina, what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He's interviewing players.
He's doing the exit meetings,
he's doing the
Bob.
Exit interviews.
He doesn't know the difference between a forecheck and a back check, or a penalty kill or a power play.
But he does know one check, paycheck.
That's
yeah.
Right.
What is the sense of this?
Let me ask you what a Tom Dundon, Jeff O'Neill exit interview might go like.
Well, first of all, I rarely showed up for them. Jimmy Rutherford called me once and I was at the Niagara Falls border and I'm like, I'm not coming in. What are you going to tell me? I had a bad year. I already know that. Or one year I scored 41 goals. What are you going to tell me? I had a good year. Thanks. I thought they were so stupid.
Maybe you could have got free golf at his club or something, Dundon.
No, every time I went in there, it was like, ah, you had a good year, try to be better next year. Thanks. I waited an hour in line to hear that. Like, it's so dumb.
Well, if you're up for a contract, I would think you have to listen, don't you, if you want to come back?
Some of those exit meetings are
just hearing
formality.
Somebody talk.
Do you have any good ones, Noodles? Any good stories?
I don't want to blow this general manager out of the water, but I was never a big fan. And he's a guy who was known to wear a white robe and walk around a little bit. And
Milbury, I know who it is.
He knew who I was, but the guy who went in before me, he asked, so where are you going to spend your summer? And the guy goes, this city. And he like looked on his list. Oh, okay. Like he didn't know who it was. Like there had been some turnover.
Right.
So he didn't even know who was in his office.
Mm-hmm.
And then sorted it out. I went in after, same, where are you going to spend your summer? I'm like, I'm going to head back to Edmonton. All right, well, we'll be in touch with your agent. Not sure what we're going to do. Have a good summer.
So what's the point of that?
It was a waste, to his point, it's a waste of time, but it's, you have to go through the process. I never had the balls to be like, okay, you know what? Sorry, I'm not showing up today. I did need contracts, and I did, but I thought that at that
point. That's the difference between a 40-goal scorer and a backup goal.
Exactly, and I will say this too, though. Did I have booze in my breath? Absolutely. I'd been out all night. It doesn't matter. He's not going to...
What does he care?
What does he
care? He was probably half oiled
himself.
I'll
tell you what. One meeting, I actually did show up with Jimmy Rutherford, and his office was overlooking the parking lot where I parked. I went from his office, got in my car, opened up the door, and puked all over the pavement. I'm like, God, are you looking right? And then I closed
He's
my door and
the
I drove home. They like, laid a patch. I was, because we had the final guys get together and get wasted, and I was so dying.
Imagine he called you and was like, actually, throw that in reverse. We want to chat a little bit.
Well, I was literally
more.
Thinking to myself, what happened if I did that in his office? That would be.
The good thing we don't have exit interviews at TSN.
No kidding.
Yeah, you just see me on July 1 after free agent day. Okay, so we'd like to stick around to meet July 2nd, morning of July 2nd. We're going to have a conversation about how the year went.
No kidding. You're Bobby like, Margarita shows up.
Exactly. It's a quiz master sitting there saying, well, on March 6th, you got this stat wrong on the font. You know, like,
that would ain't be happening.
Difficult process, I would say.
That would be awesome.
That's why we're in the media.
We should have Overdrive exit meet. Meetings this year.
Yeah, we should.
That'd be good.
Hey,
we could do
on
that.
Air.
On air.
On air.
Yeah, we have to do that. We have to. A full review.
No, because you know
show.
What? He's going to do what he did in Carolina, not show up.
That's true. Like, if it's beyond July 1st, you're not going to be
here. There's a mail-it-in Friday.
We'll get Jeff McDonald to get Tyler out of that chair and do the exit interviews live on the radio.
All right, we'll do that at the end of June. Exit interviews. On the air.
We could bring in Steph.
She'd yeah, we could do that.
She Actually, she'd be good because she'd really let you guys have it.
Yeah she exactly. Would.
All right, we'll bring in Steph. The hell with the boss.
Yeah, she wouldn't hold back.
No, it'd be classic, those exit. I was saying, I think the Leafs and the Bruins are going to be an amazing series, but I also think that Pitt Philly has got some vigor to it.
It does, but you know what? I'm trying to figure out whether we're going to get like the jam like we had. And what year was it? 2015? 2012?
It was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I got to check it. I got it in my notes. I think it was 2012, maybe. Was that long ago?
Brizgalov was still there.
Holy mackerel.
Was that where the goalies, like it was 9-8, those games?
Yeah, they both got pulled like three times.
It was the year when Crosby and Giroux got into it. Mm-hmm. Crosby smacked Voracek's glove, and then they got into it, and Letang was fighting with Thiemann.
And then Crosby said, I don't like them. That's why. I don't like them.
That's right.
And I think several things have happened since then. One, the game's completely changed.
Right.
It's just not played the same way. Number two, I think Crosby has really, really, really matured. Like, he seems so focused as to not let himself get off his game.
No.
And number three, I think to the point of the game changing, Haxtell was asked about it today or yesterday or whatever, and he said, no, that's not our plan. Like, we're just going to go play. And and I talked to an NHL head coach today who said he doesn't think he'll get too edgy in Philly, Pittsburgh, and I said, why not? And he said, because the toughest guy in the series is the Pittsburgh power play.
Yeah, that's true.
They can carve you up, can't they?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be animosity anywhere. Like, it'll happen at some point.
It should.
Yeah, it's...
But it'll be like Anaheim, San Jose or
you're
something.
You're right, but there will be...
No,
you know,
no, we can't have Getzlaf and Jumbo fighting off the opening faceoff.
That would be outstanding. Awesome. Like, I could see Winnipeg and Minnesota potentially being drawn into something,
yeah,
but...
You're right.
Just a matter of who it is.
The thing is now the game is... It's such a different game. Like, there's not too many fights out there anyways. But the hitting...
I don't think there'll be one fight the whole playoffs.
Oh, I think there will be. Absolutely. Well, there'll be fights.
There'll
for
be
sure.
something. LA, it may not Vegas? Be. It won't be heavyweights.
Like,
but
I think there'll be something.
Who's going to fight for Vegas? Reeves isn't even in the lineup.
Yeah, but he's not the only guy who can fight. James Neal fights. He drops the gloves once in a while.
What is the prop bet for that? Fights for playoffs.
First round?
The whole playoffs.
Oh, man, it's got to
be.
There'll
be a fight. He said there'll be
four.
Okay, 3.5.
3.5. I'm going under. Wait, I'd go under on 2.5. I don't think there'll be any fights in the playoffs. Any.
Okay, I'll
go
take
over.
That bet.
I'll bet you $20.
All right, go ahead. There'll be a fight tomorrow night. Watch. Night one.
There'll be a fight tomorrow.
So now we do the two over under the 2.5 you just gave the line on.
Mm-hmm.
And now a side bet for opening night.
You got to give me
fight
big,
or no fight.
You got to give me a lot great odds for opening night. There's three games.
I say zero fights tomorrow.
Well, okay, but if I'm going to take fights, you got to give me plus money.
3-1.
Fine.
$60.
No, I need more than that. It's
three
games.
Go to hell, dude. What do you think I am?
5-1.
5-1. 5-1, and I'm in tomorrow night.
3-1.
4-1.
4-1. Leave it at that.
3-1.
Look at you.
4.
4-1 odds? 3-1.
Yeah,
it's
only three games, and it's opening night.
The guy's 30 under at the no balls open.
How about you? You won't go up one number.
What?
What are you, Rocky all of a sudden? You won't go from 3-1 to 4-1, but I'm
That's where I think in my head it should be. 3-1 is
fine. Well, I'm telling you it's 4-1.
Well, then I'm telling you there's no bet.
Okay.
You're
going to
put the cone on.
Oh, really? Did you see this, Bob?
No.
He was wearing a cone.
Are you beside him on the panel tonight?
Yeah.
Because he might have rabies. I don't know if you're aware of this.
He got bit by a dog the other day.
What did he do?
He got bit by
a
dog.
My neighbor's dog bit me.
Really?
And he went to the vet.
The fan brought me this to wear.
Oh, whoops.
What was that?
That was his...
That's what he's going to wear on the panel tonight.
Like, can you imagine it turned to Bob? Like,
I thought he was just using it to funnel his beer.
No. That's for July 2nd.
New Jeff doesn't that. Funnel beer anymore.
Right, he's a new man.
Yeah. There you go.
So the cone is coming onto the panel.
Quickly,
tonight.
I have one thing to ask all three of you. Mm-hmm. So... I'm going to, like, transparency, I'm voting for the coaches.
Oh, good.
So, I mean, it's pretty simple for me, the number one.
Gerard.
Kirk. But, like, I'm really struggling because there's
five or six thought about
guys.
That.
Like,
I think you got Bruce Cassidy,
well, I got Cassidy
and the guy
at two,
in Colorado.
But Johnny Hines, New Jersey.
Colorado was ahead of that.
Jared Bednar.
Bednar's the guy.
Yeah, Dave Haxtell was on life support this year.
In Philly.
In Philly.
But I don't think you should, being on life support should factor into the coach of the year.
This is a team that lost 10 in a row.
I get it, but that shouldn't factor into saying that guy's a great coach because they lost 10 in a row because he was a part of the 10 losses in a row.
I know, but he stuck with it. That's, to me, like a guy who didn't pack it in. His team didn't pack it in on him either.
I would vote Gallant's got a slam dunk. Jared Bednar, because they took that team from last to getting in the playoffs, and Bruce Cassidy, because he totally changed the approach to the Boston Bruins, and they were one of the top teams.
See, here's another thing for me. John Hines, Corey Schneider, he had the balls to bench Corey Schneider. Taylor Hall's been brilliant, but there's 40 points between the two. Like
we always look for the same profile. Team that wasn't supposed to make the playoffs.
Right.
That just makes it.
You know, like John Cooper's an afterthought.
But like, I had Paul Maurice.
Yeah.
Because he went to the coach. He went to refs in the offseason. I think it was Massanoven. And sat down with him.
Right,
and
had him cutting down the penalties.
Coming in to talk to the team about, this is an Achilles heel of our team, is we take way too many penalties. How do we be a better team? And to me, that's changing your approach.
Who's the ref that has a brother that's a linesman?
Dvorsky.
That's who. Yeah, he brought in Paul Dvorsky.
Sorry, it was
Paul
Devo. Dvorsky. It wasn't Don.
It was Devo.
Yeah, it was Devo.
Well, Anaheim made the playoffs. That was a little bit of a surprise.
They might screw some people up.
Maybe
Bozy would vote for Randy.
Man, Phil.
Randy. Good run, Randy.
Good one, Randy.
Good one.
What's the matter, Phil? You late because Bozy forgot to pick you up?
Good one, Randy.
The Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance and Add a Payment Plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, boys.
We'll see you later in the week for Game 1. Leafs Bruins Thursday night. He's going to be a part of the playoff preview tonight on TSN. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Looking at the NBA board tonight, point spread. Lay the points, Philly and Atlanta. They're playing for something. late. Oh, take the points, Boston and Washington. The Wizards have been brutal. And I will take the points as well, Golden State in Utah. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we got Jays in Baltimore tonight, TFC in Mexico City. We had Sergio Dipp join us in the 4 p.m. hour. He's going to the game.
Yeah.
I think he said exactly what everyone knows. If TFC gets one goal tonight on the road, it's over. That's what they're playing. 90 minutes to score one goal. If they do that, they're going to make history. They're off to the finals of Champions League. The stadium down there in Mexico City is world-renowned. It's famous. It's going to be packed. It's going to be loud.
Yeah.
It's going to be a scene. It will not be loud down in Baltimore. No one's showing up for outdoor games up and down the East Coast in baseball. No one's going to games.
Well, not right now.
No.
You said it's scheduling.
It's too cold. I'm not going to sit outside for 3.5 hours for a game in April.
Has speeding up the game, has anybody noticed that?
No, nobody has. That's a good point. They talk about it every offseason, all offseason, and then the games show up, and it's like, feels the same to me. I haven't noticed anything.
But nobody's really reported on it saying, yeah, you know what, that rule change has really made the game from 240 to 232 or whatever on average.
I haven't noticed anything.
That's usually what, I liked it, and I know we were a part of it where the NHL had those hurry-up face-offs, which were, I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Like, guys
just drop
sprinting
it
from the bench. And then
that lasted for, like, four exhibition games.
I know,
the regular season started, the refs were just sitting there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that has been consistent through the NHL is I think they've called the stick work. I think they've called pretty consistent throughout the year.
Although I will say, Jamie, that the last quarter of the season, they got relaxed on it a little bit.
Little relaxed, but I mean, I think what happened, though, too, is players curbed the way they played so they didn't have to make as many calls.
It's going to be interesting to see what goes on in the playoffs because you remember that series last year, Anaheim and Nashville?
Yeah.
That was slapshot.
Yeah, that got a little...
And the refs were just like, nothing to see here. And I'm like, are you for real?
I don't mind it.
I liked it, though. I didn't have a problem with it.
Everybody liked it, but it's
give
like...
Give me a throwback.
Another series must have been watching it saying, how come I got called for that slash the other night? And these guys are killing each other.
Well, that's what always bothers people. The fans, the players, the inconsistency is what drives people nuts.
Right.
But
right.
That's what happens, and it's subjective. Every ref is different. Every ref views the game differently, and they call the game differently.
Right.
But tomorrow night, playoffs kick off. Jerry will be joining us. My understanding is he might pop in throughout the afternoon tomorrow.
Wow. That would
we'll
be cool.
We'll see what happens.
Jerry is?
Jerry might. He'll be there at 5:30, but he may make some rare appearances in the 4 and 6 p.m.
Some bold predictions,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. For the playoffs coming up. And
absolutely.
We're looking forward to it. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.